Penguin Random House Audio presents Quit Like a Woman, the radical choice to not drink in a culture obsessed with alcohol. This is the author, Holly Whitaker. Introduction. Nearly a decade ago, about a year before I stopped drinking alcohol, a friend of mine showed up at my door. She lived in my neighborhood, the Tender Knob of San Francisco, which is another way of saying we lived somewhere between a shithole and a fancy tourist trap. It was early on a Saturday afternoon, and my friend was carrying a solo cup full of whiskey because some man she met on OkCupid had broken her heart. It seemed a reasonable solution to me at the time, to walk around the streets of San Francisco sipping Maker's Mark to dull the specific pain of being rejected by someone she met on the internets who wasn't good enough for her in the first place. Only I would have chosen Jameson. We called a few friends to come over, and we sat in my little studio apartment, smoking pot and drinking even more whiskey and cheap wine from the corner store, when my dear, broken-hearted friend announced to the group that she was pretty sure she was going through an alcoholic phase. Alcoholic phase. I looked around the room at the faces of my other friends for a hint of the same reaction I felt, which was relief. I saw not only looks of relief, but also ones of deep knowing. We'd all experienced something close enough to that to empathize. Huh. When you're terrified that maybe your drinking has gone off the rails, nothing will rein in that hysterical, ridiculous thought more tightly than a group of successful, intelligent, attractive, together women who normalize your affliction with a new term, alcoholic phase. This scenario is only one of a few hundred examples of why I couldn't figure out whether I really had a problem with alcohol or if maybe I was just going through a little thing that would straighten itself out. Around the time of this particular incident, when I was 33, my drinking was escalating in a way that felt out of control. It was no longer just one or two at home, or a drunk night out with the girls, or hangovers on the weekends, or any of the things I'd done in my 20s that felt moderately in control or normalish. I was drinking by myself after going out. I was hungover more days than not. Keeping it to a bottle of wine a night felt like a win. 5 o'clock stopped coming fast enough, and I started to leave work at 4:45, then 4:30, then 4 p.m. At some point, it made sense to carry airline shots in my purse, just in case. Sometimes, especially when working on a deadline, I holed up in my apartment for days on end, drinking from morning until I passed out. That kind of thing. But, and there is always a but when you want to invalidate everything you've just said, I didn't drink every night, and I didn't drink any more than my friends when we went out. I'd recently made it 12 days without booze, and, perhaps most important to me, I had mastered the art of keeping my shit together when drunk in public. I was never the one being carried home, and I was never the one who got sloppy. I made sure of that. To my mind, there was enough evidence to prove I was a normal drinker, and equally enough evidence to qualify me for the Betty Ford. I went back and forth between knowing I needed major help and thinking if I just did more fucking yoga, I'd be fine. My passage into sobriety was both slow and fast. Slow in that it took me 17 years to realize alcohol had never done me any favors. 17 years of trying to control it and master it and make it work for me like I imagined it worked for all the other people. Fast in the sense that once I crossed some invisible line, one I still can't retrace, I was hurtling so quickly toward total dissolution that I couldn't pretend to have the strength to stave off what was happening to me. The whole thing was like that Price is Right game, where the little yodeler is climbing the mountain and you never know when he's going to stop or how far he's going to make it. But you also know he has the potential to go all the way. It might be helpful to mention that during this time, I was simply killing it at work. I joined a startup in 2009, and because I was a cutthroat workaholic with a habit of fucking men in charge, in a few short years, I landed a director title, something typically reserved for Ivy League MBAs who favored Ann Taylor pinstripes. It was a healthcare company, and many of my friends were medical doctors, so I dropped in to see one of them about my thing. I explained that I might have a teeny tiny drinking issue and a habit of throwing up most things I ate. And when she had to Google how to treat me and suggested Alcoholics Anonymous, I knew I was completely screwed. I bought wine on the way home from that appointment, because I wasn't an alcoholic and there was no way in hell I was going to AA. But over the course of the next 18 months, one by one, I stopped drinking, smoking pot, taking all recreational drugs, and I got over my bulimia. I started meditating and crawled out of the depths of depression, addiction, sickness, and crushing debt. Within 20 months of that afternoon with my friends, drinking room temperature whiskey and pondering if maybe all of us are sick or none of us are, I also quit my job. I did this because I had finally become someone who, A, wasn't the kind of woman who reports to someone she's been sleeping with, and B, had a pure reason to exist. I knew I was supposed to start a revolution around alcohol, addiction, and recovery. What I didn't quite know was exactly how I would do that, or that this revolution would become stronger with the strands of activism and energy woven into other major social forces. Fourth wave and intersectional feminism, reaction to the Trump election, the legalization of marijuana in several states, the Black Lives Matter movement, the opioid crisis, and the growing and vocalized dissent against a very racist, classist, imperialist, and failed war on drugs. This journey has been an evolving one. At first, it was the story of a dead woman walking. Of all the women in this world who try to conform to a life they are told they should want, one that looks good on paper. I drank green juice and I made the right sounds when I fucked men I didn't really like and I crushed it in the boardroom and traveled to Central America all by myself and my ass was yoga tight. I did all the right things until all the right things became so suffocating I wound up prostrate, drunk on the floor of my apartment. It then became the journey of a woman waking up to the world and all its possibilities and wonder, her own power and voice and unique identity, the bigness that a life can be when we center it on our true desires compared to the smallness of the one we accept when we center it on the desires we're supposed to have. That personal awakening was followed by the part where I discovered that alcohol was not only something I could not abide, but perhaps something we all shouldn't. And that was paralleled by the part where I discovered that the systems in place to help me stop drinking the chemical we've been trained to tolerate, the chemical that was physically and emotionally and mentally murdering me, were archaic, patriarchal, masculine, and hence ineffective for me as a non-man. I discovered that I not only had to claw my way out of hell and construct my own system for recovery, but that also, perhaps, it was my duty to create something more so the women who come after me, women who are dying in broad daylight while we look the other way, might not have to face the same bullshit I had to endure. We are living at a time in history where more and more women are waking up to their infinite potential and calling out the systems that hold them down and keep them quiet, submissive, sick, second to, voiceless, and out of power. We have more socioeconomic and political clout than ever before. The movement started by women of color, the LGBTQIA community, and radical feminists have gained considerable momentum, and we've reached a tipping point. More of us are aware of the terms of our own oppression and of our complicity in the oppression of others. Words like misogyny, patriarchy, tone policing, white privilege, and gaslighting have become common lexicon. Women, now more than at any other time in history, are conscious of our collective subjugation. And yet, this is also the time in which women are drinking more than we ever have before. Between 2002 and 2012, the rates of alcohol addiction among women rose by 84%, as in it nearly doubled. 1 in 10 adult American women will die an alcohol-related death. And from 2007 to 2017, alcohol-related deaths among women rose 67%. As opposed to 29% among men. It is a time of radical progression in almost every area of our collective experience, and a time of unprecedented rates of addiction coupled with an almost gross ambivalence toward our personal and societal relationship with alcohol. Here is a time in history where the future is female, the wine is pink, the yoga classes serve beer, and the death toll rises. Here is a time in history where masses of us women fill the streets to protest against external oppression, then celebrate or cope or come down from it all with a glass of self-administered oppression. This book is about all these things, about the sickness in our society that drives us toward an unattainable perfection and lives we never bargained for.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?